the Tolnep half-captain was doing some calculations about slave prices. He knew an air planet where you could get 1,000 credits a slave if you could get them there alive. He estimated that he had a potential here of about 15,000 landed live out of maybe 30,000 shipped. That was 15 million galactic credits. His 19% of that, the prize money he would get personally, would be 2,850,000 credits. His loaners were owed 52,860 credits in gambling debts, the reason he was happy to undertake a very long cruise. And this left him 2,797,140 credits. He could retire. The Hoven was thinking about all the silver and copper coins that must be in the ruins of old banks. The Cyclos valued neither metal, but he knew a market for it. The Bolbod had been thinking about all the Cyclo machinery down there up until the time his punch craft was captured. Now he was thinking about punching terrestrials. The Jambachow commander was wondering how he could do the rest of these aliens out of slaves, metal, and machinery. Finally, the probe craft made it and sat down on the ledge and their attention riveted on it. The 5 Hockners got out, bulky in their fancy space suits and clumsy in the swinging of their blast rifle straps off their shoulders. Suddenly, the voice of the Hockner landing control officer in orbit crackled out of their radios down there and came back up the infrabeam.
Alert to the battle plane!
There was a battle plane up at about 200,000 feet. But it had been there for an hour, doing nothing. And it was doing nothing now. The 5 Hockners were looking at it way up there, a tiny speck to them. Hard to find in the blue sky, they saw.
No! No!
Barked the Hockner landing control officer.
Around the corner from you, coming up the glacier!
Only then did the watching faces see it. From their viewpoint, it was just a line on the glacier, just the top of its body showing, the rest cut off by the jutting crag above the telescope. The battle plane had hugged the glacier all the way up. It was almost 100 yards back of the telescope when it stopped. No one here could see whether anyone got out of it. It must be holding in that position on its motors. The glacier was steep. The 5 Hockners, alert now but seeing no one yet, crouched, guns ready. Then they sprinted forward. A hammering burst of blast guns flared just behind the telescope. One Hockner near the edge was hit, thrown out into space, and went spinning down through the clouds. The Hockner sled, struck by a burst, slithered backward, teetered, and dropped into empty space. The 4 remaining Hockners charged through the snow and wind, guns going. The relentless pounding of blast rifles racketed up the infrabeam. The whole area under the telescope seemed to be erupting continuous green gouts of thundering energy. One Hockner down. 2 down. 3 down. The 4th almost reached the telescope and then thudded into the snow. The only sound now was the whistle of wind around the peak.